Good morning. It is Thursday, October the 6th, 2016. This is the County and County Administration Workshop. We have Commissioner Heck and Commissioner Walker. Commissioner Hare is not present. And the first item on the agenda with legal counsel is item 1A, resolution number 2016-063 in the matter of the Josephine County Mental Health Advisory Board.
Okay, so only slightly less exciting than our celebrity encounters is the adoption of the...
Can I touch you?
Oh, yes, certainly. I still haven't washed this hand, actually.
Yes,
I shook it. The Mental Health Advisory Board bylaws are proposing to be revised. There is a grand total of one revision only, and that's Section 8B. It's on page 4. And the revision pertains to the number of meetings per year. It had been 9 meetings per year. 9 meetings per year, right? Yes, 9. And now it is going to be 7 meetings per year per the bylaws. And again, that's Section 8B on page 4.
Okay, and that's the only change?
The only change.
From 9 to 7?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question. It has nothing to do with 9 or 4.
Okay.
Reading the thing, the Josephine County Mental Health Advisory Board believes that all individuals have a right to accept. What is that right based upon that they are looking at? What's the enforceability of that right that I know that they have violated something?
I'm going to catch up with
which place?
In the mission. The mission.
Oh,
the mission. Number 2 is the mission.
Okay. The mission, okay.
We're having a certain...
Mental health, right, okay. The mental health... I'm still looking here, so...
Number 1 is name. Okay. Number 2 is the mission.
Oh, believe it all. Okay, the right to access a full range. And you want to know what the right is.
Yeah.
Having not written this, I could go
ahead
and speculate, but thinking of the way the Constitution was framed, rights are something that cannot be taken away from a person or God-given is what the Constitution describes rights as versus governmentally given. And so the word right would implicate that it's a God-given Josephine County Mental Health Advisory Board has a right to access a full range of mental health. I know of nothing in the Constitution that would address the access of mental health services off the top of my head.
I don't know that it's necessarily a legal right so much as just a purpose right, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's legal rights and then there's just missions.
But why do they have that?
I think they believe that.
Mm-hmm.
The group got together and maybe decided, well, what's our
mission and what's our goal?
And this is what we believe.
Well, I'm probably being snotty, but then that would remove me from having any responsibility because it's your right, so exercise your right. What is our right? I mean, what is our responsibility toward those who struggle with mental health problems? Do I have a responsibility to try to care for them in some way and just listening out? But to begin with the premise that you have got a right... I need to respect that right.
Mm.
No, I'm sorry. That's not the way it works. I've got the responsibility to do everything in my ability, my power, or fiscally responsible or whatever, to care for, treat, oversee, or do whatever. But that right is our responsibility. It's not. It doesn't start with your right. Your right is meaningless in that sense because you can't do anything about it. You can't enforce anything about it. But I mean, I just. Like that,
well, when I look at the sentence, it says a right to access.
Mm-hmm.
So, a full range of mental health services. Well, being that this is a mission statement of a specific organization, everyone has a right to access the services provided by that organization. Is my interpretation.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they have a right to go someplace else and demand it and that we pay for it, but they have a right within this organization to have the expectation that they're going to be able to access those mental health services.
It's what constitutes a full range of mental health services.
Mm.
How's that defined? Because I've got a right to it. I want to know what it is.
With that organization.
Well, okay, so what is it? What are my rights? What are you trying to keep me from getting my rights fulfilled? Because I've got a full range of mental health issues that I want to have dealt with.
With that organization.
I think what they're trying to say is that their right is such that we can't say, you can't have that.
This organization can't deny it.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That if the organization provides X, Y, and Z services, and then the person wants X services, they should be able to access those services, and that's where it falls. They have the right or the ability to access X services, and other whatever it is can't say, oh no, you can't have that. You can't have that.
I understand that, and I wouldn't have any problem with that, but I've got a right to access a full range of services. I just struggle with that concept because I think we have a responsibility to provide services to people who have mental health needs, because that's my responsibility. But to have you come and tell me, this is my right to have a full range of services, I just don't see that base anywhere. Because
it seems to me that they're just saying, if there's services, those services should be available to everyone. We can't say, we don't believe that only certain people get those services.
Yeah, no, I can empathize with that. When you say all individuals.
Right, so you're not.
Yeah, there's the equal protection. That is actually a right.
Yeah.
Have a right to access a full range of mental health services. And I said, so what is that right based upon?
So shall we send him to Long Island Law School and take this up next time, 3 years from now?
This has just been their language for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Well,
I just read it for the first time, cognizantly. But this, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right.
Is there any board member that sits on this board?
The mental health board?
Yeah.
No, I'm not the mental health.
I thought you were liaison to public health.
Or to public health, but not mental health. You are.
By public health. I do go to the mental health board, but I know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, then you must believe that.
I have a full range of services that I need to actually
we can get you in.
I will ask this question. I will ask this question.
Yeah, that would be a good one for the liaison to take up at the next meeting. Yeah. But in the meantime, we are working on a change for this.
Okay, I know I'm dissed. That's fine.
I know you're having dissed. Oh, dear. Okay. So shall we move this forward?
Absolutely.
All right. Yes, sir.
Without objection.
You as liaison will take that up at the next mental health board about the mission statement.
I certainly will.
Okay. All right. Anything else in legal?
That covers it for us.
Covers it. All right. Yes. It is changing.
Well, it's not changing the policy.
No, it's not. So we can just put it on consent.
And Keith will talk to it?
Huh?
Keith will. Yes, Keith will. And he will not bring up the mission statement.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Whatever is your wish, man.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
That was quite a discussion.
Keep your hand on the quasi side, baby.
Okay. We have Public Works.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm fine.
You sat here and heard all that conversation. You know what you're in for, right?
Yeah, I'm concerned about some wording.
Are you all right?
I have no problems today.
Okay.
Did you guys discuss the plat yet, or is that?
No, that's yet to come. That's the blessing yet to come.
That's yet to come. You want us to take you first?
No.
Yeah. I don't. Where is it on the thing here?
What other matters.
Oh, it's under board business. Why don't we do that? Just stay right there. Come on up, Tony.
Well, I don't need to come up. I just want to know that you're going to sign it today.
Okay.
Signing it today?
Yes, okay. We will.
Yes.
Okay. Because the owner of the property is anxiously aware.
Right.
Peter's already been in contact.
If you don't mind, Commissioner Heck, we will go on to just stay right here. Thank you. Item 5A, which is the approval of the final plat map of La Monte Subdivision, Phase 2 off of Redwood Avenue. and this is back from the surveyor, and all we need to do is sign off on the plat. Looks like everybody else in the world has signed off on it already, including the surveyor.
No, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the final plat?
I will move that the board signs the final plat to the La Monte subdivision.
I second the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We will sign it. We'll get it down to you. Thank you.
Take that worried look on your face.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay.
Fine.
All right. Please proceed. Now, on item 2A1, Intergovernmental Agreement 3150, Oregon Department of Transportation for Single Trip Permit Authorization.
All right. Currently, we have a 10-year agreement, and it expires, or 10-year IGA, and it expires. And so this is a replacement for that. It's virtually identical to the last one we signed 10 years ago. With the exception of the dates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions on that, Commissioner Harris?
Over the last 10 years, sir, what has been the weighing capacity of Josephine County for potentially overweight vehicles?
We have, on a handful of occasions, requested ODOT's Waymaster to come and set up a certain bridge or certain bridges. As their time allows. So we have some enforcement that way.
And, you know, as I mentioned to you, I've got a real problem with making laws that we cannot enforce. So how does this fall into that framework?
Well, the law is actually with the state.
You know, I understand that, but we're talking about it all for Josephine County.
If we don't sign this, then we would be issuing all the permits for oversize. We'd have to pass regulations for that, for anyone that does come in for a permit.
But if I'm a scoff law, I could care less. You can't have a load more than 78,000 pounds. Okay, good. Yeah, that's why I'm 76.
Uh-huh.
And in reality, I'm 102.
Right.
So how do we enforce it? The enforceability is what, as far as Josephine County is concerned?
It's an occasional request to the state, or if the state happens to be driving through, or if they go into other counties that do have a Waymaster, they potentially get caught there.
So this is, in reality, this is more of a cover your interior in case of something.
You know, I want to believe that the majority of the truckers are trying to follow the rules.
I would agree.
And this is addressing those majority. This is not addressing the ones that are trying to break the law.
Okay.
You have any problem with moving this forward?
No, ma'am.
Okay. We will move this one forward to the consent calendar, since it is just an extension of an existing contract.
Okay.
Okay. Item number 2, contract for personal services with HDR Engineering Services for seismic assessment of county bridges. This was fascinating reading. Tell us about what we're looking at here.
You were asleep.
We're pretty excited by this. We're going to take a look at, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head because we added some. But I think it's about 20, 25 bridges.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how they'll hold up for a seismic event, and then determine what we would need to do to them to increase their reliability. Part of what we would look at also is if there's two parallel roads, and if one costs $4 million to repair and the other one costs $20,000 to repair, we'd obviously do the $20,000 first because there's still a way to get in there. Most or all of these bridges are in what we call our districts 2 and 3. 3 is south of the river, Grants Pass kind of area, doesn't go out to Williams, doesn't go out to Cave Junction, but it's a hospital area is what we looked at, the arterials and collectors, the major roads. And then we've added a spur along I-5 going north, Monument and Colonial Valley area, Merlin, trying to pick up the larger population areas with this funding. This is out of our funds. We believe, from what we're hearing, that there will be state or federal money for seismic rehab over the next 4 or 5 years, 6 years. So what we're hoping to do is to actually get some stuff that's basically ready to go if that funding does come available.
So it's also as well to convey to those that are planning that Cochise County is ready to go and has the plan's already in effect.
Yeah. So if somebody comes up and says we need to spend money this year, we'll have actually plans, or not plans, but we'll have bridges identified and what those projects would be.
So hopefully we won't have an earthquake before this is done.
You know, I'm hoping to schedule the day off that we have the earthquake,
yeah.
So since I don't have any days scheduled off, it won't be happening.
Yeah. I think we all want to have the day off that day.
Yes.
Okay, I was looking at the list of bridges on it. So these are the ones that you're going to be doing that are on this list, or have you added
yes.
more? Okay.
Those are the ones that are on the list.
Okay.
We're through the process, if it comes back where the bridge is, you know, hopeless, or the bridge has is perfect, then obviously we would have a little extra money that perhaps we could pick up another bridge out there. Mm-hmm. But the funding amount won't change.
Okay. All right. I see quite a few over here that would be critically important for emergency type of things in the event of an earthquake.
Without going into your file cabinet someplace, how many bridges do we have in Jefferson County that you are responsible for?
About 200.
I would stand in front of that parade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is really understood countywide by mm-hmm. the citizenry that
yeah.
we have that many bridges.
Yeah. We have about a dozen that we've replaced since the seismic design standards
yeah.
have increased, so those obviously are not part of the
right.
list because we've already done those. And then, again, with the funding we had, we tried to pick a core area, hospital, and then just north, trying to keep the largest populations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We would have probably looked at Cave Junction. We've replaced several bridges out there, but it's a long ODOT process to get to Cave Junction, so until ODOT really does theirs, we couldn't even get out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Shall we move this forward, Commissioner?
Please do.
All right. And so who do you wish to address this? Do you want...
Well, I think you would do a great job on myself.
Well, the liaison is not here, so one of us needs to take it.
Well, I think the liaison will be back. Do you plan on being at this weekly business session?
If you so wish me to, I would.
Well, what is the other one? The
Exchange funds.
Exchange agreement. I think maybe you need to be there because... explaining about the bridges
okay.
and the seismic issue and then the exchange agreement.
Okay.
Unless Commissioner Hare decides he wants to do it.
We floundered through, and I say floundered because it was delegated to me to speak about it, on this exchange of the 555, whatever it was.
Right.
And nobody, passed out a groan, so I mean, one of those things that is exceedingly important to you, but is generally it's like...
Okay. So your experience of speaking about...
Oh, yeah. I think waffle through another
one. Well, I don't have a problem addressing it. I just don't know if anybody's going to be asking any specific questions. And since
I have no problems being there if that's...
Okay, because I think if someone asks a specific question about the seismic or why the seismic or...
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
We don't know that.
Right.
So, okay. So, Chuck will be there, and this has to go on the admin because it's a new contract. Okay. Item 2A3, 2016 Fund Exchange Agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation for Merlin Road Improvements, Sanitarium Road to Robertson Bridge.
This is an agreement through the MPO. It's the funding that the Middle Rogue MPO gets, and this was a project that the policy committee with the MPO, which consists of, I don't remember which commissioner is on the policy, I think it's Commissioner Hare. Uh-huh. This was listed as something, actually it was the highest one for the county for what, within that MPO for Josephine County. And it's to basically install sidewalks down through Maryland. We'll have to do some storm work to get everything aligned correctly with the new wheelchair ramps and so forth. But you know, we're pretty excited because there is a lot of traffic down through there getting sidewalks.
Right through town, yeah.
Yeah, big enough.
Is this right in there where the road kind of curves?
Yeah, it's from Sanitarium Road, which is just before the park.
Right, just before the park.
And it goes out to Robertson Bridge, which is basically
right
where the trench is.
Uh-huh. Long ways. Okay.
That'd be great.
All right.
And it's for Merlin Road. It's not for the side roads, but it's for Merlin.
Merlin. Mm-hmm. All right.
Super.
All right.
And the projected one, when it's all approved, passed, when will they actually start doing something?
I believe
year?
It's like 19.
Okay.
So.
So just because it is approved now does not mean that everybody can jump up and say,
right,
start carrying
right. What the approval does is gives us money and the ability to start doing the design work and so forth. We've done a little bit ahead of time, but this actually gets us started for the whole thing.
Cool.
And, you know, we'll, if at all possible, if the funding is all there. I'm sorry, I said 19. That was a different project. This one is slated for next summer.
Oh, okay.
Potentially.
Okay, 17.
So, yeah, 17.
Hmm.
Good.
And it's possible in 18, just depending on if we're able to get all of our easements and so forth. But
mm-hmm. That'll be good. That'll be a huge improvement.
Yeah.
All right. Should we move this one forward?
Please.
To the admin, and Chuck will be there. Thank you, Chuck. We appreciate you doing that.
No problem.
Yeah, we can explain. Mm-hmm. But then if somebody asks a technical question, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that answer.
I understand. All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We'll see you this afternoon.
Yes. Community Corrections. Mr. Guyrand today.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Okay. Thanks for
they lay it out there because we have no place else big enough to put it.
So we have good news to share with the board. We were awarded a $300,000 grant for drug court. And part of our funds will be $15,000 for administrative costs. The vast majority of this funding will go to Choices Counseling. And it's for a case manager and enhanced treatment services. A little history with this particular grant, it's from the Bureau of Justice, is that we had it before for a two-year period. This time it's for a three-year period for $300,000.
That's $100,000 a year?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And there's a little hiccup with it, although fairly good, is that the last grant got extended for a year, so there's some overlap of a year. We've met with the judge and with the drug court coordinator and some other stakeholders and have come up with a plan to spend the money from last grant, and it's within compliance of the Bureau of Justice. So at any rate, we'll see some continued services for drug court. We're really excited about that, and we're asking that you sign this today, if
today?
That's possible. Oh, I'm sorry. Next week.
I thought you said. Did you say today?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, that was a slip. It was a verbal faux pas.
Okay. So this is $100,000 a year, and then there's an additional $15,000 for administrative costs.
No, that's within the $300,000.
That's within the $300,000. Yeah. Okay. So for the $100,000, that pays for each year. Pays for two employees?
It's actually one FTE for choices counseling and 0.2 for of FTE for drug court clerk. And that's assigned by the Josephine County Circuit Court. Community Corrections is able to provide the required cash match through the continued assignment of 0.5 FTE for a PO to supervise drug court clients. Currently we have, I think it's 30 or 35 drug court clients. With this grant, the goal is to expand that population to around 70. So we're hoping to serve.
And the judge is supportive of it.
Yeah, very much.
She must have been able to add an eighth day to the week.
No kidding, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. But,
yeah. So my question is, it's a half of the FTE, so how much is budgeted for that half of the FTE? Do you recall how much that is?
For the county? Uh-huh. Yeah, we've budgeted half of it.
Yeah, but the dollar amount.
Oh.
What is it, 60?
Oh. I'd have to look as well.
Yeah, okay. The reason I'm asking is, and you're going to expand with this money, you're going to expand it to 70? This additional money, you're going to expand it to 70 people?
Yeah, and keep in mind that was the goal from the last grant as well. We just weren't able to get the referrals. There was some turnover with the drug court coordinator position. Casey Black was the last one. And we went through another drug court coordinator position that was assigned, and then she ended up quitting and going to another agency. And then we just got Amy Wells just a few months ago. So that's kind of the driving force of recruitment, if you will, to get those referrals into the drug court population. So we've ran into a few hiccups there to get that all the way to 70 folks, but we're hopeful that it will do it this time.
Okay, maybe I'm digressing a little bit here, but for the drug court program, do you have a cost, pretty much an idea of a fixed cost for how many people you can have in the program? For instance, you're saying you have 30 to 35. You want to have 70 based on this amount. The criteria for people going into the drug court program, sometimes they're not first offenders. They're usually not first offenders. Do you think a drug court program would be effective for those people who are first offenders if there were the money available?
Yeah.
To keep them from becoming repeat offenders? And
yeah, so a lot of it depends on their criminogenic domain. So just because somebody got caught for the first time doesn't mean that there was the first time that they've been involved with drugs. So what we do is a risk assessment tool known as the Level of Service Case Management Inventory, and that'll spit out a risk to the community, low, medium, and high. And our goal is to get our medium and high-risk folks into drug court for that particular population because they have a lot more resources, a lot more accountability, and the judge is directly involved with their lives. So it's not necessarily a first-time offender issue for us. It's more of a totality of that particular individual, how they're going to respond to treatment. Now, if they come out as low-risk, oftentimes they're fine on their own. In fact, they don't need a whole lot of supervision to be successful. You know, it's like a regular person that goes to work. They get into some trouble and they cope with using drugs, and they get caught, and then they're like, oh, now I need to change my behavior. Whereas somebody that has a criminal lifestyle that has kind of skirted around the system and hasn't gotten caught, but they know the ins and outs of, you know, how to get out of trouble and how to avoid police and, you know, so on and so forth. Those are the people that we have to deal with their criminality in their mind to get them to change their thinking. Once they change their thinking, then they can change their behavior. But oftentimes the low-risk people, they change their behavior, you know, right at the gate. And they don't necessarily need that level of supervision or accountability in drug court.
Would it be effective if the state, I know the state is trying to keep less people from going to prison, those people who are repeat offenders, at what point do they go to prison? I know we have the drug court we try to get them into, but there's not room in drug court for everybody, so some of them end up going to prison. So in our county, How many is that? What level of incarceration are we experiencing because we don't have enough drug court space? Do you have any idea?
The drug court is just a small percentage of our overall population mm-hmm. that we serve. It's like 5% of folks that community corrections serves. And so we still supervise all the downward departures. So folks that are property crimes or non-person felonies that qualify to go to prison, we do an assessment early on, give that to the DA's office to determine whether or not they're going to offer a downward departure. In other words, keep them in the community. Mm-hmm. So we have a number of those folks that aren't even in drug court that we supervise, you know, here locally. So
those are the ones that would be the plea bargain where you where they're under some kind of supervision.
Okay. Yeah, they'll plea bargain it out, and they're not admitting to the guilt during the assessment. In fact, I advise the clientele to not even talk about their pending crimes. I just want to talk about their life and who they are and what resources they have and their support structure that they have with family and their criminal mind and thinking and behaviors and things of that nature. And then we give a recommendation to the district attorney's office on whether or not to plea bargain that out and offer them a downward departure. So there's other efforts being made outside of drug court to reduce the amount of prison usage that we have in the prison system for the state. So, uh-huh. And justice reinvestment is the real driving force behind uh-huh. that. So.
Justice reinvestment, what do you think is the likelihood that that will be extended?
Well, we have an initiative that the partnership of justice is trying to coordinate on October 21st. We've invited regionally the legislators to meet here in Josephine County. They approached us directly because we have really good programming mm-hmm. Here with secure treatment and mm-hmm. transitional housing and mental health services and you know so on and so forth. So we're going to tour these representatives around on October 21st and hopefully get their support to vote it in the next legislative session. And our aim is to go from $37 million to $52.7 million with this session, and we're hopeful that it passes. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with just educating the representatives on what it is that money's doing, and it's good. So.
Okay. Well, if there's anything that I won't volunteer, Keith, but if there's anything mm-hmm. I can do.
No, I think the positive on this is that it is a program truly that that saves the state money
uh-huh.
by cutting this whole thing off at the knees instead of getting them involved headlong into the system, so that mm-hmm. there's an effort to interdict that process.
Exactly.
And that to me is a big selling point.
Yeah, that's one of the things that it really concerns me, the number of people in our population in general in the states that end up going to prison when society, meaning us who are running the programs, could have done something. Because what happens is these people are committing non-person crimes, and just because they've repeated these non-person crimes don't change their, and have no way to change it because they have nobody to help them. And
well, there's also a chemical dependency.
You throw that in there too, and so we end up with these people that go to prison. Well, guess what that does? That just puts the nail in the coffin for a lot of them because they come out worse than they go in, unfortunately, some of them, because they don't get the individualized type treatment that they need there. And, I mean, there are exceptions, absolutely, and I know some of those people that are exceptions. You know, they go to prison, they serve their time, they come out, and they've got their whole life turned around. I mean, there are exceptions, but I just know that these programs that we have implemented are working, and I would just like to see more of the state money go to those programs that are working to keep people from going to prison. Because to me, it's just appalling the number of people that are being sent to prison for non-person crimes that some kind of intervention could have prevented it. And I mean, I'm all for the intervention to prevent it. And so if I can help, let me know.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad to.
The thing is, too, from my perspective, is that you might have the best program in the world, I cannot force you to participate in it.
Exactly.
I can make it appealing to you and all those other things, but the bottom line is that you still have to have your wanter impact. You have to want to do these things.
Right.
So that's where the tension between the ton of bricks and the encouragement comes to play. And where's that line? Okay. I would think that the reinvestment of this by the legislators is high because they can see a success. They can see the numbers going down, and you don't want to make it too sharp. But, I mean, that's the important thing. The numbers are going down. I mean, you forget about all the people and all the first down. But the numbers are going down, and we have to keep those numbers below the figure of whatever it is. Okay. And that is maintaining itself. It's bumping right there close to it, but it's maintaining itself. And so I would hope that it would be a good sell, or not an easy sell, but it'd be a good sell. So who's coming out on the 21st?
Dwayne Stark, Carl Wilson, Krieger.
Krieger.
Yeah.
Krieger.
From Curry County. Mm-hmm. Dallas Hurd from Douglas County. Mm-hmm. They've been all invited but haven't yet confirmed. So we're hosting with Joe Garcia, who's the director of Douglas County, and also David Denny from Curry County, who's the director over there, and we're wanting them to present their information for Justice Reinvestment as well. So it's a regional effort. We're just hosting it and then doing the tours. Uh-huh. So
good. That's good.
So you sent me that invite as well?
Yes, sir. You responded to it.
I know. Don't keep pushing me.
You're the liaison. You got invited, right?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, but I responded to it. It has the potential of being a good day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. Well, like I said, let me know if I can do anything.
Okay.
All right. And you say you're going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You just accepted.
He has not accepted it, my fact.
Oh, okay. So. Very good. Well, I'm sorry to digress like that, but when I see something like this coming in that... it just brings all those questions up, and you're here for your communications department report anyway, so I'll ask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Sorry about that. I digressed a little bit. Something else you wanted to say about this?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah. You said what day is that?
October 21st.
21.
It's a Saturday. Not that I'm trying to call you.
The 21st is a Friday, Mr. Hick.
My calendar says October 21st is a Thursday.
It's
a Friday. I got this stupid week. Not work week. A week. No, I got a work week on it.
That's okay. We'll keep each other straight here.
Yeah.
I'm still jet lagged, and I don't know your reason. Yeah. 21st is Friday.
It is right there. Justice Reinvestment Work in Josephine County.
There you go. Good job. Well, that's good, because I know you had just made a presentation to us, and I had all the information that I had learned from you at the time that I went up and met with an AOC committee, and the guy from the Justice Department, I can't remember his name, that was there at one of the dinners of the previous legislators that were meeting with AOC. And I sat next to him, so I got to tell him all about the successes of our department.
Yeah.
And he was really... I think it opened his eyes a little bit in regards to what limited resources. He didn't realize what narrow resources we have, but the goals that we were accomplishing. So he was quite impressed. I'm trying to remember his name now. Jordan? Can't remember his name. But anyway, it was a good meeting. Thank you. Have anything else for Nate?
No.
Okay. All right. We will move this forward. If Commissioner Hick agrees, and we will put on admin.
Okay.
Okay,
great.
Okay.
Do you need me to present?
You are going to talk about it?
Do you have the time to do that? I think it would be a good opportunity for you to trumpet and promote and to talk about all
the success that
the Drug Court is accomplishing in Johnson County and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Stay at 9.
Wednesday. No, it's Wednesday
the 19th. 5:30.
5:30.
Can you do that? I mean, is that going to intrude in your returning home? That would be a big deal.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay. We'll see you then. 5:30 next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thank
Actually,
you.
This one.
Okay. We have the finance report and business update, and we have Mr. O'Hare.
Hi.
How are you?
Very good.
So nice to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you. Nice to have you back from your journeys.
Thank you.
And so the two things I wanted to briefly, the fee change process is well underway, and I received feedback, I think, from all the departments that are going to give me feedback. So I got from Julie.
Did you get from the sheriff?
Yes, I have the sheriff.
Okay, when I got that, as soon as I did, I sent a reminder to all my liaison people, and I said, get them in. If you have them, now's the time.
Now's the time. So I did get the sheriff's. I got community development, parks, public works, several mm-hmm. folks. So
okay.
I'll compile those, get those on next week's admin agenda,
okay.
Get a copy of the packet to to the board.
Okay.
Copy so that you can have it as part of the agenda. So that will be for next week's Thursday agenda. The one I have on the agenda for today was simply to make a presentation to the board of the Standard & Poor's report on the
improved
status and the improvement of the county. Right, which they upgraded Josephine County from A to A+, and they also upgraded our outlook, which is our economic outlook, from developing to stable. The short and sweet version of that is that they basically recognize the fact that we're maintaining stable fund balances within our programs, and that we're living within our current revenues. Yeah, we're not spending down our fund balances. So those two things that are
within... In spite of public pressure.
Well, there's a lot of public pressure, and I think that's a good reason why to bring this up. Moody's recognized this last year when they improved our rating last year in 2015. Standard & Poor's, you know, they're independent. They operate on their own time frame. So Standard & Poor's just was, you know, behind the curve, and so now they've updated it and recognize the fact that we're living within our current revenue streams. Now, they did, if you look at the details of the report, they did mention that turned around this current year, that we did spend from the fund balance, and, of course, that's public safety is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
We received, I think we deposited $4.9 million 2 years ago. We deposited $4.2 million last year. So we've spent that difference, and that's their, you know, we didn't bring in enough revenue to replace the 4.9. We only replaced it with 4.2. So they recognize that. But
so we've spent $500,000.
Yeah, more than what we brought in. So just wait till next year.
Well, the thing is,
you
know, we're within our means. And, you know,
right.
The jail has one pod open, and we have one sheriff and a deputy, and... Yeah.
Well,
and
that's what they're saying. So just to wrap this up on the short version of the story, they say that we could raise our rating if the county is able to stabilize its revenue streams, which
good luck.
We've been trying to do
we've
that
been trying for 10 years,
and maintain balanced operations. Which, again, balanced operations means current revenue, current expenditures are the
mm-hmm.
same. We don't spend down fund balance. And if wealth and income indicators improve, which is basically county economic, statewide economic indicators. So we're not directly influencing those. But
yeah, we can't control those.
So that I think, is good news, and I think the takeaway from that one is to keep doing what we've been doing, you know,
yeah,
living within our means.
They have what I would call a rather strident sentence in the very weak budgetary performance. When they say Josephine County budgetary performance is very weak, in our opinion. The county had deficit operating results in the general fund of 28% of expenditures but a surplus result across all government funds of 4.7%
yes.
in fiscal 2015.
Yes.
So as we look at the potential for improving on this very weak budgetary performance,
good luck.
It was very weak. It's going to be right. catastrophic, catatonic.
You ain't seen nothing
yeah.
yet. So I think to elaborate on that, as they say in the next sentence, from 2008 to 2012, we operated in what they're calling deficit, which means we spent down our fund balance. That was deliberate. That was intentional.
Uh-huh.
We got in 10.2 million, I believe, in 2008. That was the unexpected one-time extension of the SRS funding. And since we already had a stable budget, if you will, we already had an established budget, we saved that $10 million for the next year. And that was the beginning of the step down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the following year, $9 million, then down to $7 million, then down to $4 million. So each year we were basically spending what we brought in the prior year, smoothed over the range of the four-year process. That's what they're saying. You were spending down. You had this big fund balance. You were spending it down. Well, that was deliberate and strategic in our way. But here's what they also said. The county ended fiscal year 13-14 with operating surpluses. So we stabilized. We spent what we brought in. We were no longer spending down. And then in 2015, the positive trend reversed. And the county posted a $1.2 million deficit after combining both general fund and public safety fund. So that's what they're looking at. They're simply saying, are you staying within your current revenue? If not, that's considered deficit in their analysis.
So this is about, generally, is about as good as it gets. For our current condition,
yeah.
This is as good as it gets for those who are responsible to establish these ratings.
Yeah, and you'll notice that they recognize that and said, you know, we understand it's strategic. You know, our analysis says we have to do this. But in spite of that, they upgraded our bond rating and they upgraded our outlook.
And what does that mean to Joe Schmatz out in the county when he says, big deal? What does that mean to them as far as our rating has been increased? What does that mean?
Well, in a more philosophical sense, what it means is you have an independent third party that has no ties to Josephine County per se. They're not in beholden to us. They're not trying to do us any favors. They're very objective, very dry in their analysis, and they recognize that the policies that the board has put forth over the last several years have been positive in the fiscal sense for the continued stable operations of the county. So we have an objective third party that has no reason to sugarcoat anything, looking at our financial processes and our financial results and saying, good job. You know, keep doing what you're doing.
In other words, don't take the money out of public works and spend it.
Don't spend your fund balances. Yeah, don't spend money
you don't have.
You know, live within your current revenue streams.
But you have to have those fund balances in case of any
emergency. Where is it going to come from?
Because if you have spent everything and you have an emergency, you have nowhere to go.
And you have a real emergency.
You have nowhere to go.
If you spend anything in the retaining wall of Jump Off Joe Creek Bridge falls over, how are you going to repair that?
Exactly.
Or you take that out of current revenues, which means that chip sealing that you were going to do for Azalea or wherever is, not this year and probably not next year either.
Mm-hmm.
And when it says that my bond rate, I'm just trying to, I'm stereotyping, obviously, Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that money sitting in this account, man. We need to spend over there. What difference does it make if they rate it as A plus or A or B minus? Who gives a rip? What difference does that make to us as a county?
Well, they could have, and this is just future could haves. Mm-hmm. So if the county ever did want to bond anything, like an adult jail, you know, we bonded the adult jail, we bonded the juvenile justice center.
Or PERS.
PERS, we bonded PERS back in 1999. But if we were to want to do something of that nature, then we would pay a higher...
Up at Emmick, if we wanted to bond a development of some kind up there for the benefit of the community.
Mm-hmm. Or should the, you know, the seismic event occur, you know, the Cascadia event, and we had to build a new courthouse or we needed to whatever, then we're going to pay a higher interest rate. So it's going to cost us and therefore going to cost the citizens much more money to for the county to borrow funds. I think that's the direct result. Indirectly, when you look at the economic stability of the county, you have to talk about attracting businesses to come in here. Are we stable? Are we on the downside of things? Then you have that those indirect consequences.
And they look at that.
Yeah.
They look to see what those ratings are in regards to the stability of the community.
Yeah.
They've got money in the game.
Do I want to invest in this community? Mm-hmm. And if the community is not stable or has a negative outlook, then... You know, that would be a mark against us. So indirectly, it affects economics and businesses. Directly for us as a county, it would affect our ability to borrow or would increase our interest rate that we have to pay in order to borrow.
And it's not just a little bit either, if I remember right.
It was pretty good. I brought that with me.
You know, if our rating were to slip, say, hey, we're going to spend down these reserves and we end up getting a B rating... And even if it only changes the interest rate 1%, 1% on a bond of several million dollars is a lot of money.
Yeah, it's, you know, we wouldn't want it to happen, but, life is life. We're here to serve the public, so whatever the public wants. If they want us to be broke, we'll be broke.
Well, it's the same kind of thing when it comes to individuals who want to borrow money. If they don't have a credit history, or they have a negative credit history, or they don't have any assets to cover the debt they're wanting to borrow, they're going to pay a higher interest rate, higher risk.
Mm-hmm. So this is what I wrote back in the day in response to the Moody situation, when Moody gave us our rating. If a business were looking to relocate somewhere, they might pass up Josephine County due to its low rating, which calls into question our capacity to provide services. So that's my indirect, you know, as a business looks at the county, low rating, can they provide services for me to relocate there, to try to ask my workforce to relocate there, to raise their families there? If Josephine County has a low rating, negative outlook, then the question would be, can they continue to provide services? You know, so that would be.
Or maybe.
I said directly, this is back in the day, the catastrophic failure, I mentioned that. If there was a catastrophic failure, no choice but to borrow funds. It could impact North Valley Industrial Park if we wanted to bond out a waste treatment facility. Could impact the airports if they wanted to bond out buildings or runway improvements. So I think... You know, it could have some direct impact if we were to borrow for those specific reasons. But.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That's all I brought. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Any other business, Commissioner Heck?
Not that I am aware of at this moment.
Okay. And we already did in 5 the approval of final plat matters from commissioners.
I know of at the front
time. I handed out on your desk right there. I have something. It has to do with SoReady. And our community development director, Julie, has attended many of the SoReady meetings, either with me or without me, because she goes to the VRA meetings also of SoReady. And I asked SoReady if it was required that the commissioner be the person to attend and vote on the SoReady board, and she sent this to me. And so it talks about the directors. And item B there that I've highlighted with yellow, it says there is a majority of its membership who are elected officials of or employees of a general purpose unit of local government or who have been appointed to represent such government. So it doesn't have to be a commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says each, in the course then, each corporate member shall designate a representative. And so then it talks about how you have to do it in writing as an alternate. So I was thinking it probably would be a good idea if Julie were to be the representative on that board, seeing as how she is the community development person and is working with them on various things. So Simon's not here, but I just wanted to make that available. I probably should bring him back again when he's here because I don't want us to...
Yeah, it'd be interesting for Colleen to get her input as to if that was made, that change was made.
Mm-hmm.
What is the perception of that? How would that be received as far as she is concerned and by her perception of other sitting people on the Sorority Board?
Okay. I don't... I talked to her about it, and that's why I asked her about this question, because we have some representatives on the board. All the government entities, all the districts and mm-hmm. such, is that people are represented there. And all levels... You know, they're mm-hmm. designated sometimes mm-hmm. to a manager. I know the city, the mayor doesn't go. It's either, and the city manager doesn't go. It's usually the assistant city manager. It's been delegated to him because he's in charge of the economic development.
Or council member. I mean, like Roy
right.
goes all the time.
And, well, he doesn't go all the time, but he's there once in a while. And then
he's there, I mean, the last 6-8 meetings I've been to, he's there.
That's already?
Yes.
The board meeting?
Oh, take it back. Back
I was going to say, no. I know.
My letter's up. That's Arby Cobb.
Yeah, I was going to say, Arby
yeah.
Cobb. That's
yeah.
not so ready
yeah.
because I haven't seen Roy at the
yeah,
ready. So, so it's not always, you know, the highest
sure.
official with the government entity. It's always someone designated
yeah.
that is in charge of economic development, which in the case of the city, it's David Reeves because he's in charge of economic
mm-hmm.
development. It's not the mayor, it's not the president mm-hmm. of the council, and it's not the city manager. They've designated it as David Reeves. So we can designate whomever we want to go. Jackson County, one of their commissioners goes. So Rick Dyer goes. But it doesn't have to be a commissioner,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I was trying to find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea if that were that cause everybody's mm-hmm. common term, those to be bent on shape.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, I'll bring it back when Simon
yeah.
is here. But anyway, that's what that is.
So are you going to start with Colleen, or are you, I'll be happy to give her a call to just ask that question.
If you want to talk to her,
okay.
You know, to get her perspective, that
yeah.
would be fine.
Okay.
And even though I'm on the board, it might be better if you did, because I am on the board.
Yeah, okay.
So, that's great. Okay, we'll just leave that till another time when he is here. And because she is going to attend, Julie is going to attend in my place next on the 11th, which
mm-hmm.
is Tuesday, the next meeting. She's going to attend in my place because I can't go.
Okay.
So, and she's been attending. Well, they know her.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, we'd be hard-pressed to find a more enthusiastic person to go than her.
Yeah, she's very enthusiastic,
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
And she's good.
Yeah.
She's very dedicated. Okay, we need to sign these plats, and we can do that after we adjourn. They'll be sitting here on the table. And we have a special pen for those, don't we?
It's over there.
We do.
It's over here somewhere.
Uh-huh.
We have a special pen.
I don't see it.
I'll just use a blue one.
Well,
anyway,
the meeting adjourns and then
yeah.
I get
after I adjourn, we'll find the pen wherever it is. Okay. All right. Being no further business, we are adjourned at 03.